Good morning and welcome to the latest episode of Beancast. The time is 8:07 a.m. on Thursday, October 12th, 2006. I'm sorry for the delay between my last episode and this episode. Some things came up. Life happened. School started. People get sick. And just generally a whole bunch of other things, plus a lack of a really good topic. But I think I've got one for you today. I think I'm going to recap again about my spinning, because it's one of the things that I tried a while back and just picked up again earlier this year, and I'm actually having a modicum of success with it. I'm recapping on that because recently was my 33rd birthday. That's right. Back in 1973, I entered this world screaming and kicking and giving my mother lots of pain. But here I am today, a better person for it. Or, I guess. So I just want to use that theme to reflect and recap on these skills I call spinning. I just want to pull up this little... I keep notes, that's right, I keep notes. Because if not, you know, I forget what I'm supposed to talk about. So, okay, let's see, what have I got here? What got me into spinning? You know, I'll recap. What got me into spinning was mostly the fact that I just kept seeing people, producing their own yarns, mostly with wheels, some spindles, which I own right now. And it just made me go, I tried that one time. I want to see if I can do it again. It turned out that the fiber I got with the spinet kit from eBay was not all that great a quality. It was not prepped well. And as a result, it made me feel like I couldn't spin. It just hindered the process completely. So I was at a friend's house earlier this year, and she has wheels. But she also had a spindle, and I just decided to pick it up again. She gave me a little bit of border Leister fiber, and I tried it, and when I was at her house, it didn't really matter, but when it was time to leave, she basically shoved me out the door with it and said, keep it! So, you know, I kept it, and I put it away thinking, it's not going to work out for me. It's probably around late March, early April. As a matter of fact, I believe it was March. And, So I finally looked at it again in May. I kept seeing all sorts of pretty fibers being spun up and dyeing, roving, and then spinning it. Because one of the things I wanted to do was to be able to dye my own self-striping sock yarns. Or yarns, period, really. And I learned that, I have a book called Yarns to Dye For. And I learned that, it would take a really long skein of yarn to produce, you know, the type of shading, the type of striping that you want for the good yarn. And I was like, there's no way I can do that. I don't have that type of space in my house, let alone the desire to walk around two still objects. Do I even have two still objects? Like 100 times to get enough, to get an entire ball or skein of yarn wrapped around 40 feet, so that, which is really 80 if you think about it, so that I can dye this stuff. So I said, you know what? If I can spin, maybe I can dye fiber, and I could break off pieces of fiber based on color, or just spin a section of this color, a section of that color, and it'll be the same. Boy, was I smart. Because I spun it that way, and then I forgot about plying. So when I got into plying, naturally, the colors didn't always wind up in the same spot. So I would get blue and pink applied together and pink and green applied together. And it came out nice. If you looked at the picture from episode 6, you would see some hand-spun socks I was working on. And I love them. They came out great. I heard that there are techniques of plying that would allow you to, or is a technique of plying, called Navajo plying, that would allow you to better determine the placement of each color that you've spun, so that you would get, you know, your plies would all match and not be all different colors. I'm okay with my plies being different colors. I'm supposed to be spinning some fibers right now that I've, you know, I have in different colors. And I've got red, white, and blue, and I've got some black. And I have some plain that I haven't really dyed, and I might dye up some other colors. And when I fly that all together, ain't none of it going to be the same. It's all going to be different colors. So, you know, it works, I guess, for some color combinations. But, and, you know, the thinner fiber, because especially if you're going to do something like a shawl, it all blends more efficiently. But if you're looking for, you know, something thick enough to make a quick hat, I guess it would look kind of crazy with 80 million different colors plied together. But that was my plan. So I decided to, you know, I have to do spinning again. I have to try it and see if it's going to work. Because if not, you know, at least I know I tried. But I just thought about it, hey, I can dye yarns already made. Why can't I make my own yarn? I know for a fact that there is no way that I am going to undercut commercial sock manufacturers, yarn manufacturers, excuse me, I'm obsessed with socks. I'll get to that in a minute. I know that there's no way I could stop myself from ever, ever, ever having to buy yarn. At least not right now. Right now, I don't need more yarn. Right now, I haven't really felt the urge to buy more yarn. I'll drool a little bit. But for the most part, I'm about fiber. I'm about getting the tools to make my own yarn. I'm trying and hoping that I can get a wheel sometime next year so that I can start spinning fibers more quickly. You know, maybe get, you know, a better handle on thicker fibers, because right now everything I'm spinning on the spindles is turning out lace weight or even sock weight, depending on how many plies I put together. But I'm hoping with the purchase of a wheel I can better control for thicker plies and come up with worsted and chunky by way of the wheel. But I know that I'll never be able to. I mean, I see that there are people out there who do nothing but buy fiber and spin. They have the time, they have the finances to purchase enough fiber. I'm looking at it, and I'm not a small person, and I'm looking at it, I'm saying, if I ever want to make a sweater, I'm going to have to buy that yarn. There's no way I could spin that much fiber right now and have enough yarn to fit a 46 to 50-inch bust frame. It's just not going to happen. I'm not buying any more yarn right now, but if I could buy more yarn right now, it would only be for an amount significant enough that I would, you know, it would take me forever on a spindle. Once I get into the wheel, if I get back to working again, then we'll see about spinning enough for sweaters. But right now, you know, I hold no illusions that I'll be able to put yarn companies out of business. If everybody that knits or crocheted spun their own fibers, you still couldn't put them out of business. Because, after all, there are people who are allergic to natural fibers, and they would need the acrylics and stuff. So, you know, you might put the higher-end ones out of business, but not the lower-end ones. Excuse me for a moment. I need to make a cup of tea. I'm back with my cup of tea. I've got a big mug of Stash green chai tea. Stash.com, people. Check it out. So, yeah, I bet you don't even know how long that took, because I've got a lovely little pause button. Whee! So, yeah. Spinning. I've basically run the, well, I won't say I've run the gamut of fibers, because I haven't tried them all. I haven't tried alpaca or cashmere. I don't have any mohair. I'm not sure I even want mohair, you know what I'm saying? But I do have experience with border Leicester, blue face Leicester, excuse me, Leicester? Is it Leicester? That's right, it's Leicester. Sorry, Leicester. And I've tried silk hankies, which I'm still currently spinning a couple of left, and then that's that. I've tried Finn. I've tried some Navajo. Some what is it? Was it not Navajo? Yeah, it's Churro Corriedale. Excuse me. Some people call it Navajo Churro because it's a fiber that the Navajos used to spin a lot of, I'm guessing. Based on my observations, that is the impression that I get. But it is Churro Corriedale blend that I've spun. I currently have some bamboo top that was given to me by a friend. It's really slippery. I'm going to try and do that again. But it's really slippery. So I was trying to blend it with some unknown fiber that was also gifted to me that came in lock form or crimp form or whatever. And I actually bought some little dog brushes. And I'm actually carding it myself. It's really fun. It's spinning up nice. It's fuzzy, but that's the case with roving anyway, as opposed to comb top. I'm having a ball with it. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. I'm really enjoying spinning with the Where is the spindle? Now that I think about it, I haven't seen it in a while. I know I had it in a bag. There we go. There we have it. Whee! My little fuzzy. And as expected, it's coming out very fine. The singles are coming out fine. One of these days I'll be able to spin thicker than this. But for the meantime, I guess I just gotta, you know, work with what I know. That's really all I can say about spinning, actually. Like I said, I've tried a lot of fibers, some of which I don't remember or don't really know the names, like the fiber I'm carding and spinning right now. That's an adventure, because like I said, eventually I want to be able to do it all, except for growing, you know, raising actual sheep. I ain't got room for that. I live in New York City, so I don't really have the room for that type of thing. But if I can get a piece of a fleece or something that I can card myself or what have you, I would probably enjoy the process. It's by hand, yeah, but it gives me a deeper sense of accomplishment. It means I've gone further back in the process and came forward by myself instead of expecting someone else to do it. Because honestly, when you buy store-bought yarns, you're paying for the process. You're paying for the fact that it's ready to dye or ready to use. You're spinning for the fact that it's you're paying for the fact that it's already combed or, you know, prepped for you. All the googly guys are taken out and everything. Because in this little piece of washed fleece, I've encountered some unmentionables, so it's not too bad. But the reality of it is, when you go to a yarn store and buy fine yarns or, you know, fancy yarns, by fine I mean fancy, you know, you're paying out the ass for preparation. Not just the name, but preparation, including the dyeing process. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you I'm not tired of it. Because like I said, I hold no illusions I'll be able to stop buying yarns completely or ever. But for the foreseeable future, I have reasonable conviction that I will at least be able to halt my yarn buying if I acquire the ability to more thoroughly and more quickly spin my own. Yeah, I'll have a fiber stash instead of a yarn stash, but hey, you gotta have some type of hobby going on in this world, right? I'm working down on I was working down on my yarn stash, but I decided to make sizzle from the Garter Belt, garterbelt.com, and I got gifted yarn instead of using yarn from my stash, Bad Bean. It's finished. It's on my blog, ladybean73.wordpress.com. You see a picture of me in it. I'm not all that fond with how I look at it, but it's done. Okay, that's the main thing. In the future, I intend to, like, when it's warm enough to actually wear it again. Before that time, I hope to be able to pick up some stitches at the bottom, near the bottom, and knit down, because it's a little bit too short for my taste. Karen suggested that I not lift my arms. I'm coming for your butt. That's right. I'm sitting next to you. Oops, I'd have knocked the microphone down. I'm sitting next to you in the front. When we go to Rhinebeck, watch it, lady. I'm just playing with you. But yeah, that's basically what I finished most recently. I know I've worked on Kiri, and you know, it's like the further you get, the more stitches you've got to do, and it just gets so depressing. I know I need to get on the ball and finish it, because there's so many other lace projects I'd like to try, but I just kept getting swept up in so many other things, like this cabled newsboy hat from Stitches Bitch Nation. I'm working on that right now in some tacky Chelsea silk that I picked up at a Joan Voss de-stashing sale earlier this year. It's a 50% silk, 50% wool tweed yarn. It's kind of... It doesn't have much give in this, you know, working with it, because it's 50% silk, but it's a beautiful burgundy-ish, maroonish color, and I'm putting ribbing and cables in it, so that should help bring it in a little bit. I'm making the hat from it, because it's going to get cold, and I'd like to have something with a little bit of silk in it also for my hair, as well as the wool to help keep me warm. So I'm working on that, and I'm also working on perfecting the two circular skill, the two circular method. The thing is, with the cabled newsboy hat, it requires a 16-inch circular needle in a size I do not own. So, or rather, I own size 10, 10.5, 10.75 needles. These are U.S. measurements, by the way. And none of them are 16 inches. So, and the double pointed, I have double pointed, but the double pointed, it was just too many stitches for the double pointed, you know? And I just don't have the funds right now to go and splurge on more needles. So I asked everyone I knew. Nobody had the 16 inch in the side I needed. So I said, well, you know what? I got a 10.5 I'm using. And I'm going to pick up this 10.75 because there's not that. I mean, yeah, there's a gauge difference. But being that half the item is being done on the right size needle, it's not really that much of a big difference. It's coming out okay. I already tried as much of it I've got on it on my head. And it's not falling over. So I'm happy with it. I did it because if I didn't, there's no way. I mean, the needles I have, I was using some bri spun needles. And the cables are not long enough for a proper magic loop. Because trust me, I tried. But they're too long for me to just let the stitches go on around normally. So I said, I'm going to have to, you know, try again with the failed two circs method. Because otherwise, I'm never going to get this hat done. I tried two circulars in the past when I was trying to make socks from the book Sock Sores on Two Circular Needles. And I think the cast-on just struck me right there. Granted, the book discussed mostly knitting one needle at a time. There are websites on the internet that discuss two socks on two circulars. And that cast-on confused me even more. I've already managed to do two pairs of socks on the magic loop, but I hadn't thought about the two circulars again until having problems getting the right needle size for this hat, which strangely enough, with the 10.5 bri spun, I actually got both stitch and row gauge. How often does that happen, people? I actually had to have me a little drink behind that one, because I was like, whoa, I got gauge in both directions. You know, and of course now everything is in, you know, the works are completely gummed up because now I'm using a different size needle in the process. Isn't that something? So, you know, now I need a drink behind that too. I got me my tea, got a little bit of a cold, make my asthma act up, but I'm all right. So, you know, no wine right now. It's too early in the morning anyway, you know. So, yeah, I've got the cable newsboy cat from Stitch and Bitch Nation, excuse me. I've also got Diamante from the fall 2006 Nitty. I know I said cable net. If you look on my blog, I did say cable net. I took another look at that cable pattern and fainted. So I was like, oh no, I'm not, I spoke too soon because there's just no way I'm going to attempt it. Personally, I would rather just go ahead and have a regular cable with regular cable needle that actually looks more sensible on a chart. I'm not trying to knock anybody, but honestly, that pattern, it just makes me dizzy. So I said, but I gotta make some type of socks because it's Socktoberfest. That's right, Socktoberfest. For the month of October, we are to make socks after socks after socks. And I'll probably get 2.5 pairs finished. Why? Because Diamante, I actually started it on the two circular method also and was doing really well, but somehow I accidentally picked up the wrong needle tip and wound up removing one of the needles completely, and the sock wound up on magic loop. So I stayed that way for a while. That's what it's on right now. But then I stopped because I've been trying it on over the course of knitting it, and it's just too big. I mean, it fits. I mean, this is the funny part. I've done the backwards heel flap because it's a toe-up sock, and I've done the backward. I sweated through the backward heel flap, although now this time when I do it again, it'll make more sense to me. And the damn thing is just too big. It's too loose around the foot. It fits. It's comfortable. If I wanted to wear the socks around the house, it would be great. But I prefer to knit my hand knit socks for the purpose of wearing inside some type of footwear. And so that's not going to work with my sneakers. It might work with boots, but I like my sock to fit more snugly than that. So I'm redoing it on smaller needles. I was using the 2.5 millimeter Addy Turbo on the magic loop. And see, this is why it's good I had two of those, because I was doing the two circs method. And I said, you know what? I've got some Susan Bates Quicksilvers in a US size one, which is 2.25. Much smaller needles. Sharper points, by the way. And I'm knitting it on those right now, and it's a much better fit. So I said I'm going to finish this sock, and then I'm going to rip the other one and start that on the smaller circs, because that's just a little bit too big. I figured I would try it on the smaller circs. If it's still too big, I would continue knitting Diamante on the one that I'm using and gift the socks away to someone that I know has bigger feet than me. But since the smaller sock is fitting much better, I'm going to continue with that and just go ahead and rip the bigger Diamante and knit that on the smaller needles too. So chalk one up for Susan Bay's Quicksilver. I just got to say, though, the joins suck. The joins suck for Magic Loop or, you know, any type of passing stitches. Boy, the joins suck, period. Let's put it that way. Even for two circs, it really is a pain in the butt. Trying to get the stitches past the join when I have to move the needles around. But it's okay. It's not too much of a bother. I just wish it were a much smoother join. If only Addy could make 2.25 millimeter needles. Damn it! So I've got that going on. After that, I want to mess with the father and son socks from the Fall Interweave Knits. Yay! Thank you, Karen, for that copy. Because of the magazine, not the pattern, people. Don't get it twisted. Because it's time I made some socks that matched, you know, for my son and my husband. See, if I had two boys, they'd be SOL, because there's just no way. But since I have... I'm so mean. Since I have only one son and one husband, you know, I'm going to attempt to finish both pairs of socks for them by the end of October. It don't look like it's happening. I'll probably finish my son. I'm going to do my son's first, and I'll probably finish those first. But, you know, Christmas is coming, so I'll just, you know, give hubby's his pair. It's a simple cable pattern that is so cute that I think it's got little pearl ridges on it, too, if I'm not mistaken. I like to look at it and think of it as sort of a slight mixture between a cabled sock and RPM. If you've seen RPM from I think it was a Summer Knitty, 2006. The pearl ridges are there, but also you have this beautiful cable going down each side of the sock. So it's simple enough that I might eliminate the pearl ridges. Don't hate me. But I might eliminate the pearl ridges, and also to cut down on the confusion, and also I might even knit pairs for me and the two girls, so we'll all have matching socks, right? I'm crazy. So that's on my agenda for Socktoberfest. I don't see myself, you know, with any other sock patterns anytime soon. I mean, I might mix it up for a little variety and, you know, decide to switch off and knit something totally different, but right now I'm not really seeing any sock patterns that grab me other than those two. So that's what I'm working on for Socktoberfest, and that's pretty much all I have left on the needles right now. Like I said, sizzles off the needles. We're not going to talk about Kiri. I really do have to do the edging on it just so I can hurry up and get it off that needle, because I have a funny feeling I'm going to need that size 7 soon for something else. I don't know yet. I just got the coolest thing. Trillion 42, has created a yarn stash organizer spreadsheet that works with Excel, the Excel program. I'm on a trial of Microsoft Office, so I'm able to open it now. But she is working on a version that will open up in the Works spreadsheet, so I'm rooting for her on that one. Thank you very much, Pam. I really do need to have this is the funny thing. I have a little spreadsheet I made that I have a fairly workable, updated inventory of all the dyes that I have, my needles, and I'm working on hooks too for when I, you know, actually get the balls to get back into crochet. But I don't have one for my yarn. I try to make one when I was organizing my stash during Stasher Flash 2005. Actually, it was earlier 2006. What am I saying? But I got overwhelmed by it. So I'm trying to work down my stash. And at the same time, as I start pouring through it, reorganizing and rearranging the bedroom, then I will input the information and I'll have something good going on. So I think it's a great thing. You might want to try it. Check the podcast page for a link to Trillion42's web address, because I can't remember it right now. I'm sorry. What else is on the agenda for Beamcast? That's really about it right now. Wow. I'm sorry, it's early, and, you know, I just said, wow, it's quiet. Let me, you know, do the podcast now while it's quiet and I've got something to say. I want to leave you with this little song. Yeah, I know people who've heard, who've seen it written down are probably thinking, this woman done lost her damn mind. But, I wrote a little song, and I know the Yankees lost. I'm sorry. But Harlem Pearls lives in the Bronx. She lives up there in New York City with me, and, she took a picture on her blog of her sock progress, and in the backdrop is Yankee Stadium. Now, I'm not a sports enthusiast by any stretch of the imagination, but I do like parodying songs. I like doing that. I thought I would share with you this little song that... not really a song, but a parody of a verse of the song. It took me all these years to realize that that's not the whole song. That's just one part of the song. So I'm going to do a little parody of Take Me Out to the Ball Game, as written by Jack Norwalk in 1908 for the Yankees. At least I think it's for the Yankees. I keep asking my husband, and I think the answer changes. But I believe this is the song that they only sing for the Yankees. I don't think they sing it for any other team. I haven't really watched any other teams play, except for the one time I went to see the Yankees against the Boston Red Sox. So, here we go. Don't laugh. I can't sing with my throat messed up like this, but here we go. Oh, forget it. I'm too chicken. But I might just post it on my blog, so check it out. LadyBean73.wordpress.com. Or you can email me at ladybean@gmail.com if you have any questions or any suggestions about the next episode. Or you just want to, you know, cuss me out and say, are you out of your fucking mind, lady? All right, people. It's been great talking to you. I will see you next time. Bye.